Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Den of Din, as Joe Castiglione calls it, not an easy place to come in and win for the Red Sox in Tampa Bay. And so far, they're 1 out of 3 in a 4-game series. And I know it's all just cosmetics now. The Sox are officially eliminated from playoff competition. The first defending champion not to even make the playoffs since the Royals in 2016. But they do have a chance to smack down the Rays now, put them out of the playoff picture. Is that where we are now? Pleasure in someone else's misfortune? Sure, why not? This is the society we're in. This is Sox Daily.
It's your daily Sox podcast. It's your daily Sox podcast. It's where you're gonna find out what the Sox are doing.
Hey, it's a podcast that has nothing to do with Antonio Brown. How about that? Josh Lewin with you, and we've got some sound coming up. We'll hear from Alex Cora after both of the losses. Hear from J.D. Martinez after the one win. I'm not trying to make a statement. That's just kind of how the sound worked out. So let's get to it. A Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday at Tropicana Field. And speaking of the Den of Din, it's a kids run the bases party here with DJ Kitty. K-I-T-T-Y. Yeah, they got a cat. I don't know what they're doing here, but it's loud here. And I don't mean to be a curmudgeon. I'm not shaking my fist at clouds, but boy, they really do it up. We got Boy Scouts running around the field now. Good for them. Why they've got to pump in this music to go with that, I don't know. It would just be nice to have DJ Kitty take it down to, say, a 4 and not a 9. But I just work here. All right, so the elimination came Friday, and it's actually 10 of the last 18 World Series champions now that have not advanced to the postseason. So Red Sox just jumping in that line. This was actually a really interesting game on Friday. This was Rick Porcello trying to end on a high note against Charlie Morton, who, of course, has been great all year for them. In fact, if the Rays have a one-game playoff to get in it to a wild card situation, if they need that, Charlie Morton would be that guy. And Morton was at the break anyway, 10-2 with a 2.3. Since then, though, 8-4 with a 4.6. So he was trying to make a statement Friday, and he made a great statement until the seventh inning. At 100 pitches, he got a visit from their pitching coach, a former Red Sox pitcher, Kyle Snyder. That was after a Brock Holt double. And the conversation was basically, "You good?" Morton says, "Yeah, I'm good." Then the next pitch, Mitch Moreland hits one out and makes it 2-0. Actually, check that. Not the next pitch. It was an 0-2 count to Mitch. His first 0-2 success all year. He had been 0-for-19 with 15 strikeouts, swinging 0-2 this year. But that was his 16th homer of the year. Made it 2-0. Unfortunately, once Porcello left, the Red Sox would give it back. For Porcello, it was only his third scoreless effort all year. 6 innings, 3 hits, no runs, no walks, and 6 strikeouts. But tough one for Darwin's and Hernandez. He allowed 3 runs in the bottom of that seventh inning. A couple of walks did him in. Willie Adames, an RBI double. That was kind of a harbinger of things to come. 3-2 at the end of 7, Tampa Bay. They would make it 4-2 with a G-Man Choi RBI double in the eighth inning off Andrew Cashner. Choi seems to be a bit of a Red Sox killer. But then Mitch Moreland again, another 2-run homer, this time on a 1-2 count. Did that off their closer, Emilio Pagan. And a sweet swing going the other way. Pagan to left field. It was Mitch Moreland to tie the thing up 4-4. And we stayed that way until the bottom of the 11th inning. And that's when it fell apart. Now, the Red Sox going through a whole bunch of relievers yet again. There have already been 26 occasions this year where the Sox have used 7 or more pitchers in a game. This was one of them. And it was Willie Adames with the RBI single after a couple of 2-out walks that got it done. His second walk-off single of the year. And the Rays with a huge come-from-behind effort to take it. The Red Sox, you know, a team that is always seemingly playing long games. That's just kind of their calling card. This one took 358, and it ends poorly as they get walked off. And this time it was Trevor Kelly who actually gave up the goods. And you know, all due respect to Trevor Kelly, but you're kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel these days when you're asking Trevor Kelly to come in and try to keep a good team like Tampa Bay off the scoreboard. Nothing doing at the top of the order in this game for Boston. The Betts and Vasquez endeavors 1-2-3 combined to go 0-14. And this one in favor of Tampa Bay 5-4 in 11. Alex Cora talking after the game.
It was outstanding again. I've been saying all along, regardless of the results, you know, he in between stars, he's always searching for something, trying to get better. And, you know, his last two, he's been very solid. Fastball command has been great. The changeup to lefties and righties has been outstanding. The tempo, great. So, you know, he's been working hard at it. And, you know, regardless of the position we're in, obviously, and how many games we have left, you know, he's still trying to improve. And, you know, you appreciate that as a manager.
And what do you think has been different these past two starts?
Fastball command. And he also has been throwing his sinker a little bit more than early in the season. To righties, you see the movement and, you know, using that inside part of the plate so then he can expand outside. And, you know, he's been amazing.
Alex, why has the two-seamer been more effective than the four-seamer?
I don't know. That's something that we've been talking about sometimes. We talk about pitch mix and, yeah, the strength of the pitchers and you know, game planning and all that. One thing I heard from Gabe after the game in Philly, you know, he said, you know, that was a different pitcher than what we saw in Boston. You know, he relied a lot on the two-seamer. Probably Cashy's going to say the same thing. So second adjustments, you know, and he has a good fastball. He has a good four-seamer. His sinker, we like it against right-handed hitters. I think it's just working ahead, too. And at one point in the season, he was working behind. And you have to throw pitches in the heart of the plate, and there was damage. Now, it seems like he's always 1-2, 0-2. And if you do that at this level, you're going to be successful.
Do you see him having that one more start?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's gonna pitch all the way to the end. That's something we talk about it as a group, and you keep working. You know, today we had Xander at 215 taking the early BP. So you know, I know this is it. You know, we're not gonna make it to the playoffs, but we're not gonna stop working. You know, we got a lot of work to do the next 10 days.
You know, for the last couple of weeks, you knew this day was coming, but what's kind of the emotion of being officially eliminated?
I mean, disappointed. I mean, it wasn't a great season, and we're going to learn from it, and we're going to be better. That's the bottom line. You know, we're very inconsistent from the get-go, and, you know, it just carried over throughout the season. You know, we never put one of the stretches that we knew that we could put, but, you know, other teams were better. You know, New York, Tampa, and our division, they've done an outstanding job. And head-to-head, they took advantage of us. You know, we lose 8 games in a row against Tampa, and then we lose, you know, Tampa and the Yankees, and that was it. But as far as the effort, there's nothing we can say. You know, you saw it today. You know, we're going to keep showing up and play and get better. And, you know, looking forward to the off season, obviously, and, you know, straight a few things out and be ready for next year.
All right, so there's the manager, and there is 5-4 in 11. You guys want to do another one of those? Got no choice. I mean, this was basically the movie Groundhog Day, not in Punxsutawney, but in Tampa St. Pete. 4 runs, 7 hits, again and again losing in 11 innings. It's a carbon copy of Friday on Saturday night. This one 3 hours and 57 minutes instead of 3:58. And this time, Josh Smith gave it up. This was a 2-run homer by Nick Lowe in the 11th inning to win it. Opposite field shot, and the guy that had been slumping pretty badly, 6-for-38, with 18 strikeouts, but they left him in the game. And we'll back up a little bit. Tampa Bay had actually grabbed a 2-0 lead off of Mike Schworn on a night where the Red Sox knew they were going to be pitching a whole bunch of dudes. This was a bullpen game, and was it ever. They ended up getting 11 pitchers into this thing, all the way from Travis Lakins, who was actually pretty good, to Pointer, to Schworn, to Brewer, to Weber, to Taylor, to Brazier, to Cashner, to Barnes, to Workman, and finally to Smith, who we mentioned gave it up in the 11th. This was another chance for Mitch Moreland to shine. He once again did something good late with a swing. He had the two two-run homers the night before. This time a solo shot in the 11th to actually make it 4-3 Boston briefly. Bogarts had had a home run, his 32nd of the year. Devers had knocked one out, his 31st of the year. And that makes him the only Red Sox third baseman ever with as many as 31 in one season. 13 of the 31, by the way, the opposite field, which just shows you the breadth of talent for Rafael Devers. He's hitting .310. He's got 111 runs batted in, and he's going to finish top 10 in runs batted in, top 3 in doubles. He's going to be somewhere in the top 10 in batting average. Bogarts, a lot of the same story there. Of course, Betts and J.D. Martinez, nothing wrong with the top 4 in the batting order this year. And we'll talk about Christian Vasquez in a bit, too, but all of a sudden, Christian Vasquez is kind of nosing in on a lot of that offensive fun. Speaking of offensive, though, a lot more pitching changes for Tampa Bay, too. They used 9 pitchers in this game to the Red Sox 11. So, yeah, 20 pitchers end up getting in. It gets decided on the Nate Lowe opposite field chip shot home run. And Alex Cora once again met the media when it was all said and done.
It is what it is. The positive is we're playing good baseball. We're playing till the end. Obviously, we have to take care of guys, and we will keep doing that. But we're going to keep playing hard and make it hard on other teams, trying to win every game. And that was the case today.
Alex, it's been a while since Josh pitched. Kind of a tough spot to come in there.
It's a tough spot for everybody, but it was a bullpen day. We had to stay away from from Darwinson. We had Josh, Hector, BJ, and TK, so, he's close again before, for us early in the season, and we felt like he was fresh. So going to a spot, Darnell hits a ball at the end, and I know Jackie was going to go all out. At that point, it's like I make the play or that happens, and it just didn't, he was short. But, I'm just happy that we're playing this way, we're fighting it. We know that they have a great team and they're playing for a lot, but it's not going to be easy. We're going to keep coming. Tomorrow the lineup is going to be a little bit different, obviously, but we'll keep fighting and playing this way.
You like the swing by Rafi there and there?
Yeah, he's good. He's staying on fastball. Actually, he missed a few pitches today. It seems like he's getting closer. So that's good to see. Obviously, Mitch, that was a bomb, to say the least. And they got a good pitching staff, but we feel the same way too. And that kid, 2-0 pitch, whatever it was, he's late on the fastball and hits it out of the ballpark. So it's one of those seasons for them that a lot of good things are happening, and they're gonna keep grinding to the end, see what happens.
Most home runs ever by a Red Sox third baseman now. And what's it been like just to watch him do that, especially at 22?
It's fun. It's fun. Like I've been saying all along, he did an outstanding job in the offseason to get in shape, to be ready for the grind, and he didn't prove us wrong. As you remember, early in the season when the on-base percentage was up, but he wasn't driving the ball, a lot of people were doubting him, and he stayed with the process, controlled the strike zone. He struggled defensively early. He made some adjustments, and we got the final product, and we're very proud of him.
What do you think, just the way Mitch has kind of ended the season, seems to be swinging the bat pretty well?
I think when he came back from injury, he's been good against righties, and that's what he's here for. He wasn't able to – it's been hard for him to hit the ball in the air, but, home runs come in bunches. And, he put 2 good swings yesterday, and that one, he got pitched up in the zone, and he was able to drive it, so he's in a good spot.
You mentioned the lineup tomorrow. Are you changing the rotation at all or anything?
No. Nate is pitching, but we got to give a few guys that are a little bit banged up, so we'll take care of them.
All right, so a loss again, 5-4, despite more Mitch Moreland heroics. And Mitchy, with 18 home runs now, getting close to a .250 batting average again. And yeah, I know it's just cosmetics, but you get to 20 home runs, you get to a .250 batting average, those things are in range. And when you're hitting the free agent marketplace, that kind of stuff helps. If you've got an owner that's got a rubber stamp of signing, your GM comes in, says, take a look at this guy's resume. If it says 240-something on there, if it says 19 home runs, I think it's easier for an owner to tell a general manager, we're just going to pass on that. But, you have 20-something home runs, .250 batting average, makes it look like you're at least an average batting average guy. That'll help Mitch Moreland, so he's shooting for that. All right, Sunday, again, the Red Sox knowing they're eliminated. Tampa Bay now 1 game up for the second wild card spot at the start of play, but Ryan Yarbrough just didn't have it after he struck out Jackie Bradley on a really good curveball to start the game. Five straight hits after that, including a three-run Christian Vasquez home run. He's become Mr. Sunday. He had the two homer, five RBI Sunday against the Phillies a week ago. Three-run homer in the first inning in this one. His 22nd home run of the year. That's 19 more than he had a year ago. Steve Pierce, one home run this year and got shut down. Vasquez was playing first base today, kind of the righty bat compliment to Mitch Moreland at first base, as it turns out, on a day like today. And I think that's what you would have thought out of Pierce, right? 22 home runs that he stayed healthy, but that never was the case. J.D. Martinez, also a big day. He and Vasquez both with three hits, and we'll hear from J.D. in just a moment. And J.D. Started against the lefty Yarbrough, had a couple of hits against him. He's now 7 of 10 lifetime against that guy. And the slugging percentage for J.D. against lefties this year is .900. That is best in the majors by far. Second best is Nelson Cruz at .755. But you know, the Red Sox with that four-run first kind of took their foot off the gas a little bit, but they would eventually win 7-4. They left 11 on base, but they have been 4-9 in their last 13 games, so you're happy just to get a win, no matter what it takes. And for Nate Eovaldi, real nice thing for him. 100 pitches, 70 of them strikes. He really had to work in the first inning. The first two batters, each of them a 9-pitch at bat, a lot of foul balls, but then he clicked into gear. He ends up going 6 innings for the second time all year, first time since the middle of April. And the win that he got, his first as a starter all season, his first since September 24th of a year ago in that regard. Not a bad lineup he had to face. G-Man Choi, he neutralized. In fact, Choi struck out four times in four at-bats in this game. Tommy Pham didn't do much, hit into a big double play early on, got through the very tough Lau and Low part of the order. Two guys that spell their last names exactly the same, L-O-W-E, but they decide to pronounce them differently just to mess with us. And it was Lau back in the lineup, Rookie of the Year candidate early in the year before he got hurt. Lowe, the guy that had the walk-off homer Saturday. Those guys did a whole lot of nothing. The only thing that was really scary was late in the game, you had Mike Zunino pinch hit for by Brendan McKay, and he drilled one, a home run off of Trevor Kelly. Why he's in the game again, I have no idea, but a 420-foot home run to make it 7-4, get Brandon Workman into the game. Workman on for the save, and the Red Sox escape with the win. But we talked to J.D. Martinez after the game, a little bit about him, a little bit about the team, a little bit about Vasquez. Thought you'd like to hear that conversation. Here you go.
Back here at the Tropicana Field, the Red Sox roll to a 7-4 win, and J.D. Martinez is joining us. J.D., congratulations. Three big hits for you, all opposite field. Was that the plan when you saw the opening there?
No, just trying to stick to my strengths, you know, driving the ball the other way, really. I feel like I haven't been doing that a lot. So just, you know, just going up there and trying to take my normal swing that I normally take, really.
J.D., how much do you look at closing stats right now? I mean, I know that we're all just supposed to concentrate on playing ball, and it's all game to game and day to day, but you are so close to so much cool stuff right now. You're up above 300 for the batting average again, 99 runs batted in. I mean, I know you're going to probably tell me, no big deal, but how can 99 turning into 100 not be a big deal?
Yeah, you know, it's obviously a great achievement, you know. Still a lot of games left, so you know, something I'm not focused on, but you're right, it's something that'd be nice to hit.
Sure would be, and 35 home runs. And the next one, by the way, the Red Sox will tie the team record for most home runs in a season. So certainly that's an accomplishment for
the
team.
We know we have a great offense. You know, I think it's why we have so many guys with so many RBIs this year and so many home runs. You know, I'll take our offense up. I'll put our offense up against anyone out there. I'm that confident in us. So, you know, it's just credit to everybody. Everyone's grinding, everyone's working, and getting better.
J.D., you had another three-hit guy in the lineup. It's the guy that you were hitting in front of, Christian Vasquez. And if you wouldn't mind, as he gets to 22 home runs now, close to 70 runs batted in, can you just tell us about what you've seen out of Christian this year? Because obviously last year was a real disappointment for him. What a great job he's done to turn it around here in 19.
You know, he changed a lot, honestly. He changed a lot of his swing. He, you know, bought into the whole, you know, kind of thing we're teaching and what we've been talking about here. And, You know, I think he made the adjustment this offseason. He was talking about it to me the whole, you know, last year, how he wanted to do it and he was going to do it. And, you know, he spent his whole offseason working on it, and it's worked. You know, he's seen benefits from it. You know, since I was here, I've never seen him drive the ball like he does now to right field and right center. There's always more of a cross swing. Now it's more of a north and south swing is the way I like to put it. And I think he's reaped the benefits because of it.
Very well put. And, of course, you've had influence on a lot of your teammates here, or the constant discussion of hitting. That must be something that you feel very good about.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I love talking hitting. I love it. You know, it's who I am. You know, I feel like, honestly, I feel like I've never worked a day in my life just because I love to hit. God put this love in my heart for this craft and the challenge of going out there and doing it. And, you know, it's so rewarding because it's so difficult. You know, you spend all day. I mean, yesterday I go 0-for-5 with 4 strikeouts, and then, you know, it's the grind, and you come back and you get, you know, I hit the ball well today, and it's like a rewarding feeling. It's something that I just have a lot of love and passion for.
Wow, that's really well said. J.D., thanks so much for joining us. Congratulations on a great season.
Thanks, guys.
All right, there you have it. J.D. Martinez and company will get back out there Monday night with 81 wins now, so there's no possible way the Red Sox finish under 500 if they somehow lose their last 7. They're 81-81. That is not going to happen, obviously. You've got the Orioles at home for 3, and you've got the Texas Rangers on the road for 3 after the finale Monday night, where Joelis Chacin will be on the mound going up against last year's Cy Young winner, Blake Snell, who doesn't look like a Cy Young winner much at all this year. He's come out and kind of spit the bit, matter of fact. 6-7, 4.19. His season started. Remember this in spring training? He was stepping out of the shower, wasn't pleased with how a decorative stand looked inside his bathroom, decided to move it, dropped it on his toe. That was kind of a harbinger of his season. And the Red Sox, who have been stubbing their toes all season long as well, at least get a win on Sunday. And that's a nice way to close the weekend and the podcast as well. This is Josh Lewin. Appreciate you tuning in. It's called Sox Daily. We'll have a few more of these for you down the stretch, including after whatever happens on Monday night. Tell your friends, tell a neighbor, tell your dog. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.